turn to your word now, Lord, conscious that we are looking at spiritual warfare. We realize, Lord God, that we really do have an enemy. But help us to realize that greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, thank you that we have two who ever plead for us. The Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who offers up prayers with deep sighs and groanings, Lord God, on our behalf. And Jesus, who sits at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. Help us, Lord, to realize the battle belongs to the Lord. And all we have to do, Lord God, is trust you, follow your lead, walk closely with you, using the weapons of warfare that you have given us. And you, Lord God, will grant us the victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked at knowing what spiritual warfare is. And in its simplest form, spiritual warfare is the constant, and it's constant daily battle. And every Christian should be able to put their hands up and say, I know exactly what that means, because I constantly daily battle between good and evil. Like the Apostle Paul, who could say, why is it when I want to do good things, I can't do them, but I do bad things? And when I want to not do the bad things, that's the things that I actually do. So he was talking about this as well. He was saying spiritual warfare is the constant daily battle between good and evil, between God and Satan, between Christians and the world system that is ruled by what the Bible describes as principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. And that's very, very clear. When you look at, here's something, the Lord has given us an insight into our enemies. Principalities and powers. Satan's army have got different command structures, and there are great principalities and powers, and then there's the ordinary foot soldiers, if you want to call them that. There are the principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. Spiritual warfare, however, also includes the Christian's personal war against the lusts of our flesh and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. The two wage war against each other. And as I was saying last week, don't die of ignorance. We need to realize that very often, should it even be when you're waking up on a Sunday morning and that thought comes into your head, I don't want to go to church today, or sure, why don't you just stay in bed? That very often behind that is an evil spirit. It is the work of the devil trying to prevent God's people from coming together to praise and to worship the Lord, because he lives to rob God of glory. We've been born again into a battle. It is fierce. It is raging in the heavenlies right now. If God would open up our eyes, like he did the servant of Elisha Gehazi, and opened up his eyes, and he saw the chariots of the Lord around the mountainside. But if he could open our eyes even for a moment and give us a glimpse into the heavenlies, we would be shocked at what we see. There is a battle raging. It is fiercely raging right now. It causes earthly wars and battles to pale in comparison. In fact, as the evangelist Billy Graham said, we Christians, we live in a perpetual battlefield. So this morning we're going to look again at some of the verses I read last week and then a couple of others. So turn please to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 10. And these are famous, this is a famous passage about spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul writes these words in chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Turn also, please, to Isaiah chapter 14. Keith, is this definitely working? Because it's not coming through. Try it now. Is it on? That's it now. Isaiah chapter 14, and we're reading from verse 12. Listen to what Isaiah is saying here. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pits. Last week we said, knowing what spiritual warfare is vital. This week I'm saying, know your enemy. As I said last week, Christians are born again into a perpetual battle which is raging in the heavenlies. Even as I speak, even as we sit here, there is a battle raging in the heavenlies. And when we grasp a basic understanding of the reality of spiritual warfare and that spiritual warfare that we're in, and we're not just children of God, but in fact we are called to be soldiers of Christ, equipped and continually being trained for battle, it is vital, absolutely vital, that we know our enemy. Do you know, I remember a few years ago, I was with a loyalist friend of mine, and we were in a newsagent's, and to my horror, he bought the Irish News. I just couldn't believe this, you know. And I said to him, what are you buying that paper for? And his answer was interesting. He said, you need to know how the enemy thinks. You need to know how the enemy thinks. Now, for the purpose of the tape and the podcast, I don't believe that the Irish News is the enemy. But I was shocked that this man was buying that newspaper. But his answer to my question, why are you buying that paper? His response was, you need to know how the enemy thinks. Now that's a non-Christian. That's how the world thinks. Well, let me tell you this morning, Christian, we need to know how our enemy thinks. We need to know how our enemy works. A man called Sun Tzu, he was the Chinese general and military strategist. He was regarded as the author of the famous book, The Art of War. And he said these words, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. Christian, if you don't realize that you are a child of God and a soldier of Christ who is born into a battle, and if you do not know your enemy, you will continually suffer defeat after defeat in your walk with God and your work for God. Have you ever been trying to live the Christian life and you just constantly find that you keep falling, you keep getting nowhere in your walk with God? And yet you haven't actually realized there's an enemy who's doing that. Yes, there's a responsibility with us, but there is an enemy at work. And what Sun Tzu is saying is, if you don't know your enemy, you're going to be defeated every single time. Jesse Penn Lewis, the Welsh evangelist speaker, said, there is an organized monarchy. That means there's a king over all of these demons. There is an organized monarchy of supernatural powers set up in opposition to Christ and his kingdom and bent upon the eternal ruin of every member of the human race. Please listen to this, because Jesse Penn Lewis has got this 100% correct. There is an organized monarchy of supernatural powers set up in opposition to Christ and his kingdom and bent upon the eternal ruin of every member of the human race. God's enemy and ours is Satan, who opposes the Lord and his kingdom and is bent upon the eternal ruin of humanity. There is no one better than Satan to want to see nuclear buttons pushed to wipe out planet Earth. And it's only by God's grace that that doesn't happen. Because God is gracious and merciful, and he would that none would perish. And so in his patience, he waits, he waits, he waits. He prevents certain things happening because he knows there are those people out there that are still his who have yet to come in to the kingdom. But if it were up to Satan, there would be buttons pushed left, right, and center, and planet Earth would be no more. God's enemy and ours is Satan. He opposes the Lord and his kingdom. He opposes God's people. He is hell-bent upon the eternal ruin of Christians, in fact, of all humanity. God's word tells us our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not against humans, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And all these, all of them are led by Satan. He is their king. However, we need to remember that Satan is a created being. He is an angel created by God who once served God. His name, as we read, was Lucifer. What a beautiful name. The morning star. What a beautiful, beautiful name. He was, as Ezekiel says, he was the anointed cherub. He wasn't just a high-ranking angel. He was an anointed, special, wonderful angel. But in his pride, Satan thought that he should be the one to sit on the throne of heaven. And so he started a rebellion in heaven, persuading myriads and myriads of angels to join with him, to side with him in this rebellion against God and God's authority. And we're told there was no place for them anymore in heaven. And so they were cast out of heaven and have been at war ever since against God and God's people. Let's see who our enemy is for a moment. In case you're unsure about what I'm trying to tell you, I explained last week about how he walked in, not that I saw him physically, but walked into my bedroom on the 5th of August 1985, and I will remember till the day that I die. But let's understand who our enemy is, who the king of the demons. Because if you get an idea of what the king's like, you can imagine what his subjects are like. He may be known as Lucifer, the morning star. He may have been that anointed cherub who was so close to God that he had such a special anointing. But his name is Satan, the adversary. He hates everything to do with God. He is God's enemy 100% through and through, and he hates anything to do with God. And Job gave us an insight. Satan walks to and fro throughout the earth. And I will say this because this is what I believe. That anywhere you look in this world where is the most terrible, terrible things happening at this present moment, you can guarantee that's where Satan is. I believe Satan was in Oma when the bomb went off. I believe he was in the regimes of Saddam Hussein and Colonel Gaddafi and others when they were wiping out their own people. He was with Hitler in Germany when he was wiping out the Jews. He was trying to annihilate anything of God. He is still walking to and fro throughout the earth. Now, we don't see him physically yet. Some believe there will come a time when there will be an incarnation of him, some manifestation in the physical form. But he is walking to and through throughout the earth in a spiritual sense. He is our adversary. He has no mercy. He has no compassion. He hates you with a venom. He wants you dead. He's also known as Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Now that comes from Baal-Zebub. Baal was the false god that the nations worshipped and led Israel away from the true God. He sets up all of these false gods to lead people away from the true God. He is the ruler of demons. And if you ever get, God forbid, to meet a demon, you'll understand what he must be like if he is their ruler. The Bible says he is the God of this world. Don't be fooled. Satan rules this world. He is the God of this world. The unbelievers are under the control of Satan. That's why he hates Christians, because we are not under his control. We are not under his authority. We have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. We are the Lord's, but we live in this world even though we're not of it. And he hates us. He hates us being here because we're the salt and the light. We're the people who are telling people there is a devil trying to lead you into hell. He is known as the devil, the evil one. He is known as the father of lies. He fills people's heads full of lie after lie after lie. He tells unbelievers who are suddenly coming under conviction, maybe what that person's saying about needing to be saved is true. And he comes in and he says, oh, don't talk nonsense. Don't listen to that rubbish. You don't need to be saved. He fills people's heads full of lies. He fills Christians' heads full of lies, full of unbelief, full of fears and anxieties. He tries to get Christians not to believe the word of God. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is a roaring lion. Peter says he goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is a serpent, slithering snake. He is a dragon. He is the one who tempts. He will be in this here saying, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. And as soon as you do it, he goes, oh, I call yourself a Christian. And he condemns you. He is the wicked one. That's what the Bible calls him. The wicked one. 100%. Slice him anywhere, it will say wicked. He is evil through and through. He's not this wee red fort thing, like a Man United supporter. He is the accuser of the brethren. In fact, God gets sick to death listening to him, giving it this. Oh, see that Harry Gordon, he does this, he does this. See that Harry Gordon, you love him, but he does this. And God says, get the hell. I'm not listening to you, he's my son. And he does it to you. He accuses you before God. See that person, they do this, 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 this. They do this, 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 this. And then he comes into your ear and says, call yourself a Christian, call yourself a Christian. You do this, God doesn't love you, God doesn't love you. And you start listening to his lies. But God says the accuser of the brethren, that Satan, has been cast down. In other words, God's not paying any heed to what Satan has to say. So you need to stop paying heed to what Satan says. Satan's aim, using his host of evil, is to prevent people from knowing God or from obeying God and ultimately robbing God of glory. Therefore, it is vital Christians know their enemy and know how to resist him and defeat his attacks. Again, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. And next week, Keith will be speaking on knowing your weapons. Knowing your weapons and resisting Satan. You see, unlike God, who is omnipresent everywhere, who is omniscient, who knows all things, who is omnipotent, who is almighty, Satan is a created being and cannot be everywhere at once. He does not know all things, and he is not all-powerful. However, his hosts of demonic spirits are everywhere, always watching, listening, and tempting people away from God, away from God's word, and away from the paths of God. They are powerful enough. Please do not underestimate your enemy. They are powerful enough to cause people to commit heinous acts against one another, or to cause people to hurt themselves, such as mass murder. See, when you hear of a shopping center and somebody has gone in with a gun and sprayed and just murdered people left, right, and center. See, when you hear of these Islamist jihadists who believe in a false god and worship a false god going in and blowing themselves up, who do you think is behind that? That is Satan. That is a manifestation of Satan. He causes people to do terrible, terrible things to others, or into self-harming, even committing suicide. Do not underestimate the enemies of God and all things godly. Our enemies are real, and we must never assume them to be otherwise. As I said, Satan is not a little red devil with a pointy tail and a pitchfork. He is a fallen angel, 100% evil, with no remorse, no compassion. He is utterly, utterly wicked. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. And he will lull you into believing that he doesn't even exist, or at least not over here, maybe over in Africa. But he doesn't exist over here. He will tell people Satan doesn't exist. Even right now, people listening to this podcast, people sitting here, he's in your head saying, "Loady oil nonsense. No such a thing as devil. No such a thing as demons. Loady oil nonsense. Don't listen to that Taddy Gordon. He's full of it." Someone said, the greatest trick the devil pulls is to convince people that he doesn't exist. The greatest trick the devil pulls is to convince people that he doesn't exist. God's word clearly says he does. And as I said last week, Satan would have gotten away with it with me, except God graciously allowed me insight into the real enemy of the Christian, the enemy of the church of Jesus. Satan and his hosts work by whispers, mind impressions, planting thoughts, stirring up desires, using temptations, instilling unbelief, doubts, and fears into people's lives, all to rob them of the joy of knowing God or of obeying God, and therefore to rob God of glory. Christian, do you understand you have been born again into a battle? Do you realize the intensity of the warfare that you're born into and what it's all about? Do you believe in Satan and his opposition to God's will and purpose for your life? Do you recognize your enemy and his wicked, deceitful schemes against you as you seek to serve the Lord? I'll say this for the last time. If you know the enemy and know yourself, then you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself as a child of God, you will succumb in every battle. God's enemy and ours is Satan, who opposes the Lord and his kingdom and is hell-bent upon the eternal ruin of humanity. Christian, don't die of ignorance. Know your enemy and know that he is always out there wanting you dead. Finally, just to point out another ploy of Satan. And that is that Satan tries to keep people overly occupied. So if he can fool people into thinking he doesn't exist, another ploy he gets into is he tries to get people to be overly preoccupied with him and his demons. do not fall into this trap. Satan deserves no credibility and no credence whatsoever. He is a thief and a liar. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Don't waste your time busying yourself with issues regarding Satan and his demons. He will want you to do that. Rather, look to the Lord Jesus, who brings life and light and love, of whom the Apostle John said, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Christian, it's Jesus you need to be looking to, not Satan. Yes, we have an enemy, but if you concentrate on him, you're taking your eyes off Jesus. Concentrate on Jesus and he will deal with Satan. Maybe this morning there's someone here who's not yet a Christian, someone listening to the podcast who's not yet a Christian. Well, I need to say to you, don't die of ignorance. Satan is your enemy also. He is seeking to lead you into an eternity without Christ, without Jesus. The Bible calls that hell. That is his aim. He is whispering right now in your head. He is implanting thoughts right now in your mind saying, don't listen to that nonsense. You don't need to put your trust in Jesus. You don't need to repent of your sins. You don't need any of this. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. He is a thief, and he is trying to rob you of eternal life in heaven. You need to believe what God says. And God says, repent. Turn around, change your mind about the way you think about God, the way you think about your life and about sin, and come to God believing in Jesus, and you shall be saved. And you will no longer and never again shall be under the control of Satan. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we recognize this morning we have an enemy, Satan. And all of those hosts of evil and wickedness that are always working to rob you of glory and to rob people of the joy of knowing you and serving you and being forever in your presence. Father, for the Christians in this place, I pray that we would know ourselves as children of God and soldiers of Christ, but we would know that we have an enemy, and we would learn, Lord God, how to resist him, how to press ourselves into Jesus, to find shelter in him against all of the wiles and schemes of Satan. I pray, Lord, for any person who is not yet a believer in Jesus, that they would waken up and smell the coffee, Lord, that they would not die of ignorance, but that they would realize that they are under the control of Satan. And unless they repent, unless they turn around and change the way they're thinking, and come to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, for salvation, he will lead them into an eternity without Christ that your word calls hell. Please, Almighty God, have mercy upon people today. Let the Spirit of God rest upon them and convince them of this truth, that they have a terrible enemy, but that there is a wonderful Savior in Jesus. Amen. We'll stand to sing our last.